Welcome back to the Trilogy postgame report here on WPKY. West Kentucky Hoops Classic going on. I think this is game number 12, if I'm not mistaken, Bob, on the floor right now between Miller Career Academy out of Missouri and Huffman, Alabama. The Tigers of Caldwell County and the Lions of Lyon County hit the floor right after this one. And then the nightcap tonight at 8 o'clock is Robert E. Lee out of Alabama against the Murray High School Tigers out of Kentucky. And Murray looked good yesterday in the first day of play here in the West Kentucky Hoops Classic.
Very strong looking team. Dennis, I didn't think they were big, fast, and could shoot the ball. Kind of a change in Murray basketball. Murray's usually known for their football, but their basketball team is really solid.
Yeah, great showing yesterday by Murray, and that's going to be a good nightcap of two good days of basketball. Right now we're joined on the Trilogy postgame report by Dawson Springs Lady Panther head coach Amanda Scott. And Coach Scott, appreciate you coming over to the gym tonight. Get to see a couple of good games after the interview here, but thank you for joining us here tonight on the postgame report.
Thank you for having me.
Amanda, it's been a tough time for Princeton. It's been a tough time for Dawson after the tornado on the night of December 10th. Bob and I know well about it, of course you do as well. It's been hard for a lot of people, but our communities are really stepping up. If you will, just take some time tonight to tell us how it affected you and your community in Dawson, the progress from that night to now, and then more specifically, we'll talk about how it's affected your basketball team.
Well, us as a community, you know, we're a very small community, you know, very tight-knit. And when, you know, the night after we come out of the basement, out of the house, and we took that first drive around town, it's like you can't really believe that it's really something that's going to happen to you. And then it does. And I think that's, you know, why a lot of people were so unprepared for it. I think they just thought, you know, we never get hit by these big tornadoes. It's not something that could happen to us. And just to walk, you know, actually drive, me and my stepdad went out driving, just to drive around and see, you know, like our park destroyed, you know, our housing complex is destroyed and things of that nature. It just kind of hits you in the gut at, you know, how many people this is going to hurt and what it's going to do to a small community like us, how it's going to hurt us, how it's going to hurt our school system. It makes you worry about how we can push through and be able to keep everything that we have like it is.
How close did the storm come to your residence specifically and the damage that you had around you?
It came within a few hundred yards. Like, our house kind of got the outer vortex side of it. You know, a lot of debris hit our house, you know, knocked holes in our roof, knocked windows out, you know, ripped our HVAC units off, you know, trees down in our yard. So I have some significant damage, but I am very blessed, and God looked out for us, and my house is standing, and I have heat and a home to go to. So, you know, I'm very lucky in that aspect that it didn't take a couple hundred yards to the left, or it could have been, you know, a totally different story.
Coach Scott, what about the cleanup since then? How is the progress coming since that first weekend when everybody was kind of looking around? I know Bob and I were just amazed that the tornado could do the damage that it did, and how, like you said, it did happen to us and didn't go south like you see on some of the newscasts where
right.
Alabama and places like that seem to break out in this or in the Midwest. These were our hometowns. How's the progress coming since that night in Dawson?
You know, the first few days it was hard to make progress just because, you know, nobody had, like on our side of town, we had no running water. We had no heat. We had no electricity. So it was one of those things, you know, we were actually driving down to the creek and getting creek water to put in our toilet just to flush it, just because, you know, we were at a shortage of water. You know, now after about a week or so, we were able to get in so many donations, you know, and hats off and kudos to the electrical linemen and all of them down here, you know, just come in droves. They work night and day, and I cannot express, you know, gratitude enough to them, and especially, you know, the water people getting generators in here to get our water going again. I mean, they work so hard, and I mean, it's such an amazing thing to witness. You know, they were telling us 3 to 4 weeks before you get things back, and they had it back, you know, in a week to 10 days. I mean, it's like, you know, when people come together and really work hard as a community, they can make amazing things happen.
Go ahead and expand on that a little bit, because Bob and I can tell stories all night long of groups that came to our homes from that night, actually Friday night,
yes,
of the tornadoes all day Saturday, Sunday, helping people move, just coming up asking, can I do anything? You had even FFA groups from the local high school, just a number of people, not to single anybody out. But
yes.
What was the response in Dawson?
You know, it was huge, you know, and it was like one of those things. We're such a small town. Everybody just starts jumping in. It's like nobody was, you know, really asking questions. It was just like one of those things. Everybody was just jumping in and helping one another and doing something, you know. I mean, when they come up there, they were just ready to get to work, and that included, like, my basketball teams. You know, we had girl and boy players not even asked to. They were up there. They were organizing all the donations that came in. You know, when people would come in and ask for donations, they were asking them, what do you need? They were carrying stuff to their car. You know, it just makes me proud as a teacher and a coach to see when you have these young people stepping up just as much as these adults are, because they care so much about their community and they care so much about the people in it. You know, they want us all to be back to normal, and they want everybody to have the things they need.
I think you and I talked a little bit on the phone getting ready for this interview tonight about we kind of expect that out of our communities in Princeton and in Dawson. I'm sure the same thing can go for Mayfield and a lot of the smaller rural communities that were affected just as hard. You expect people to respond just like this in your hearts, but when you see it put into action, it kind of reinforces your faith in the communities that you live in, knowing that in your mind this is the best place if you have to go through something like this to have the people around us that we have.
That's amen. I mean, it's just, you know, you hear a lot of things. You know, you see so many bad things politically, you know, and so many bad things on Facebook and online, but it's like in these last few weeks, I have seen so much graciousness and love and support out of so much that it daily restores my faith in how many good people there are in this world. There are so many, you know, good, caring people that want to see, you know, us rebuild, us be bigger and better, you know, our children taken care of. And I mean, I told somebody today, there was a church group that came to my practice from South Carolina. They said, you know, we felt like the teenagers were going to get left out in all these toy drives, and they brought up $50 gift cards for each of my players.
Wow.
And it's just like, I can't, you know, I can't put into words how happy and how humbling it just makes me, because I don't feel like that, you know, I don't know, I just can't believe somebody would do that for us. And I mean, like I said, it just restores my faith daily, every day, in how many good people there are. And I hope that one day that I'm able to pay it forward and give back to how many people have done so many wonderful things.
Absolutely right.
And Dennis, that's the thing that I noticed in my neighborhood. Dennis and I live across the about a 9-iron away from Dennis. But the people that would stop by and just ask what they could do for us and all that. And then the tree crews, we had like 8 trees uprooted in our yard and in our sinkhole area up by the trunk. And I thought, you know, I don't have a chainsaw big enough to go through all that. But they would come up, and we went through the Calvary Baptist Church here in Princeton, being organized to send crews out. We tarped some of our roof so we could keep some of our inside materials dry, and they jumped all over that. And church groups out of Cincinnati, Ohio, there were some out of Illinois. And you know, you just turn around and you were almost couldn't work because you were having to talk with them and thank them for what they were getting done, moving stuff from where we threw out to the street. So the people that were running that operation could come out and clean it up and things like that. So in our neighborhood, a lot of work has been done in the last 2 weeks since the storm to make it. Now we almost have no trees out there. I mean, that's the landscape is certainly underwent a huge
transformation.
Yes, it did. And now when I'm out there, I kind of look around and I'm thinking, Where did this person live? Because I would judge by the tree, and there's no tree there, and I've got to look around to see where I am. But it's, you know, the thing about it is, as I tell my older brother who lives in Minneapolis, you know, if I had to be in one, I want it to be the biggest, baddest one that's come along in a long time, because it sure hunted us down. I mean, it was no flicking off to the south or flicking off to the north, so maybe. And that was not on my bucket list, as I tell him, to go through one of those things. But, things will work out. But, you know, the fact that we survived was step one.
Right.
Step two, step three, step four, step five takes care of themselves in due time. And it's the youngsters that you want to be around. And, you know, it's just something that, you know, I'm not bothered. I hated to lose my home, but, you know, I was safe. I'm safe now. And materials, I've never been a material type oriented person. Those things can be replaced. So I just want to make sure our grandchildren in Princeton certainly don't feel something negative coming out of this. It's just things that happen in life.
Right. That's a good friends of ours, Elizabeth and Jesse Robinson. Their son is in the same grade as mine. And, you know, we had done a park cleanup, and they brought Luke down there. And that was one of the things that he posted on Facebook. You know, he took a picture of him, and he said, you know, my son's down here helping. You know, this park is his future. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what we're striving so hard to do. We want a future for our children. You know, I've been born and raised in Dawson my whole life. You know, me and my husband went to Western Kentucky, came back. You know, we love this town. It's something when you grow up in it, you just feel like it's a sense of ownership, like it's your job, you know, to take care of it and to make it better for your children. So it's like, you know, I feel like that's a lot of the feeling with a lot of the people in our community. They want it back for our children. You know, we want to, you know, grow and raise our children up in this atmosphere the same that we had.
Right, absolutely. And it's always been a close-knit, small town. My grandfather's brother went to Dawson and began the hardware company over there in the early 1900s. My dad's sister was a 30-year teacher in the Dawson Springs system up until she retired probably 40 years ago. Elizabeth Lynch, I don't know whether...
I don't remember her.
A lot of people, I mean, she was way before us. She was probably, and they lived on East Keegan. So I understand that was the part of town where the tornado, whether it hit East Keegan or not, I know it missed the funeral home over there, mm-hmm. but certainly tore up a lot of area past the funeral home and all that. So I've got some Dawson connections.
Got some Dawson roots.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amanda, if we can, we're going to take a quick break. If you can stay with us, we want to talk to you more about that night and about the efforts through Dawson, and also more about your basketball team that you're close to this time of year. They're like your family, just like we're here night after night in different gyms. So we want to talk more about that if you've got time to stay with us for a little
bit. I do.
All right. Well, thank you, Amanda Scott, the Dawson Springs Lady Panthers head basketball coach. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and continue this conversation on the Trilogy postgame report. That's next here on WPKY. Welcome back to the Trilogy postgame report here at the West Kentucky Hoops Classic. Dennis Stevens and Bob Hayes joining you this afternoon. And also on our program this afternoon is Amanda Scott, the head coach of the Dawson Springs Lady Panthers. Amanda, thank you for driving over and being with us tonight. We've talked about some about the community and how they dived in and how everything is everybody working together, trying to get the cleanup started, trying to help people who needed the most help and go from there. But it's basketball season. You're supposed to be in a gym with 14 or 15 girls. Bob and I are supposed to be at gyms calling basketball games all over the region. It was tough to see that stop and to go through what we had to, but it was kind of a relief to both of us, and I'll let you expand if it was the same with you. It was a sense of getting back on track and a sense of normalcy to come back and broadcast our first game after the tornadoes, and I'll let you talk about that and then some about how your team was affected.
Yes, you know, it's been 2 weeks. We just started back practice today, so of course very rusty, you know. But, you know, it was mentally, you know, a really thing that they needed to kind of work through for a good 2 weeks. I am glad that we kind of did take a 2 weeks off to let everybody mentally kind of recover, because two of our boy players actually did completely lose their homes. One, I'm actually very surprised that, you know, there weren't fatalities that occurred, because at the home next to his, it killed the boyfriend of one of the ladies living there. And that was a part of the town that was really hit the hardest. So I think he is, you know, him and his family are very lucky that it didn't end up in a worse situation. You know, my girls, thankfully, all of them, the tornado, by the grace of God, took bounces and swerved and missed all of their homes.
Wow.
So we, you know, my girls were very lucky in that aspect, you know, but they were worried about, you know, our male boy players, you know, that, you know, one was trapped in a basement, you know, and they were trying to get him out of it so they could see, you know, that he was posting on social media that they were stuck, you know. And it goes back to, you know, losing, you know, our former basketball player, Logan McKnight. You know, that just occurred in November, and that was one of the most emotional, hardest losses for us as a community that we've had in a very long time. And it was like, you know, we had finally gotten into the flow back into our basketball season, and then it was like this tornado hit. So it's just like another hit mentally and emotionally to them, you know, to be able to get over his death, you know, and process it. And then now we got to process that our town has been completely destroyed, you know, and everything we've just worked for in the season has just taken, you know, a pause, you know, kind of like with COVID last year. It's like we can't get our flow back going. So I'm hopeful, you know, there will be no more pauses, no more bad things to happen, and we can kind of get back on, you know, the page of growing and progressing like we were doing.
That is amazing to hear that all of your players didn't get any damage from the tornado. We talked to one of the Mayfield coaches last week while we were at the Callaway County or Hardwood Classic, and all of Mayfield's girls team somehow avoided the tornado.
That's awesome.
For each player on that team as well. So we love to hear those kind of things. People that survive these things, we love to hear the good news. We love to hear people say, we didn't lose a shingle. And people that didn't lose a shingle tell me that they feel guilty to even say that. And we say, no, we want to hear the good stories of it, because we were able to stand in our driveways and look at our neighborhood the next day and just be amazed that God did not take one life in that whole neighborhood and the one next to us. It was just unbelievable to look at it and realize that.
I was shocked when it hit our Clarkdale Court apartments, that housing authority. You know, it was completely leveled, and it's sheer and utter amazement in God that, you know, only one person was killed out of that whole housing authority complex. There was a man, I think he was in his 50s or 60s. That was the only one that passed away. And to see how some of these people were buried under rubble, you know, and even little children. There was a friend of mine, it was her daughter and like her, you know, 2 and 3 year old son. And he was able to hang on to the bed and be under the rubble and not get, you know, torn away from it and it protect him. You know, and it's just stories like that, that, you know, for people that don't have, you know, a belief in a higher being, it's like, I don't see how you can have that belief, because there's no way, you know, that something wasn't holding their hands on him, you know, and holding that little boy there, you know, and not doing something more drastic to him. You know, he came out with scratches and that was it.
We talk about basketball coaches. We've talked with Coach K in post-game interviews before, and I'm sure this is highlighted even more going through all this, that you're not only a coach, you're a counselor, you're a parent figure to a lot of these players. You just got practice started back up. I know you got to go see Coach Cal's practice with UK, saw the pictures online, and I'm sure I'm going to let you tell us more about that a little bit later. That looked like an awesome trip. But tell us what you're preparing yourself for if these players decide during practice that they need a minute, or if they want to talk a little bit. Do you put the basketballs on the rack, and what do you do? What are you looking to do with you and your coaching staff in the coming week or so as you get ready to get back in action against Madisonville in a couple of weeks?
You know, my girls, I tell them all the time, you know, I have my own two children, you know, and all of them are children 3 through 20. You know, that's what I say all the time, you know. You all are my kids first. You know, your mental health matters more than anything, because if that is not in a good state, then you can't be present for anything else that you're doing. So, you know, I tell them every Friday, you know, I tell them in person and then text too, you know, if you go out driving tonight, please be careful. You know, always take care of one another. You know, if you need anything, you know my door is always open, you know. And we just try to take care of one another the best we can, you know. And to go through Logan's death first, you know, we had group chats. We talked together. We tried to support one another. You know, we had one player that was in, you know, a pretty good depression about it. She had been very close to him. You know, we just tried to love and support her the best we could. And I think because of that, she was able to kind of get herself together and get past that. So I feel like because we had already dealt with that, it already had made us a little bit mentally stronger, already kind of, not to say prepared, but able to kind of handle it a little better this time, know how to support one another and kind of help each other through.
And, I mean, it's just when you stop and think about it, what an experience. I mean, something that you never thought would ever happen to you, but all of a sudden it's on you, and then you have to deal with it. Fortunately, I don't have younger kids now. They're grown, and we're able to stay with one of our daughters on the other side of the country club here in Princeton, so I don't have to – I'm not out at inconvenience of finding a motel or this. And where my wife grew up was just about a mile down the road. We've got that house probably 90% full now of stuff that we've moved out. It's been a lot of physical work and all that, but not a lot of mental work trying to figure out where I'm going from here, where I'm going from there, so on and so forth. And that's what I feel sorry. I'm hoping that a lot of our people that are experiencing that have got it pretty well identified as to what they have to do and when they have to do it. I just think about it all the time, how blessed I am to, one, walk out of it abundantly, and as I've always been pragmatic, step two, step three, step four takes care of themselves in due time. But, no, I think the fact that you're with players and students, Amanda, is huge. I enjoyed when I was coaching here in the leagues, the youth league here, baseball, to try to keep perspective just talk to them. And my favorite saying was, nothing good ever happens after 10 o'clock at night. I would tell that over and over and over again. I said, just think about what that says, and my door's always open. Just like the people I know in Dawson are just 100% A1 type people. I mean, I just hated it. It hurt the community like it did, and I just, like you say, it will come back. It's going to be, don't look at the time frame, but just help when you can, where you can.
That's what I know. There are several people in our community worried about the timeline, because we've got so many families displaced. I think our mayor said 75% of our homes have been destroyed, and at first when I hear that number, you don't think it's 75%. And then when you kind of take a step back and actually look at it and you begin to see how many families are reaching out for places to go, then you kind of realize that, okay, maybe it actually is the 75%.
It's always a bigger number than what you think. And,
right.
And trying to comprehend all that is mind-boggling.
Yeah, and that's what, a lot of us are afraid for our school system. We've put so much time, effort, and energy. We don't want to see it go down. And I think that's why so many of us are working night and day, burning the midnight oil. We're trying so hard because we don't want to lose everything that we've worked for and everything that we've built. So I'm hopeful, that we'll get these people back, because they have put in, I'm not sure if it's FEMA or who has brought it in. They've brought in temporary housing.
Yes.
And actually hooked it up to water, so that way we can kind of get some of these people in the apartments a place to live, a roof over their head.
And that's where the government can play a huge and vital role. And we had a phone call today from a FEMA rep trying to this and that. Everything that I'm going through right now, I'm going through for the first time. So it's just, they're there to help us.
Right.
And we want to take advantage of it.
Yes. And I think, I'm hoping that people will continue to come back, even if they have to be displaced, they're going to build brand new apartments, a brand new housing authority. These are going to be nice new homes. So that's what I'm hoping, they will want to come back and they will want to take pride in these and take care of them. And it'll make our community better in the long run. I hate that, a natural disaster had to make that happen. But, if it's for the betterment of our community, it's kind of a double-edged sword almost a little bit.
True. It's the irony of the situation. We didn't want it to happen. But in retrospect, in 5 years, it's going to be better than what it was.
Correct.
So, like you say, I'm hoping that it comes back, because, that's a nice school system.
Yes.
And I would hate to see that compromised.
Well, Amanda, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to segue in, just like Bob mentioned, into the future. We're going to talk to you about what you have coming up for your team immediately and some of the long-term plans for not only your team, but Dawson Springs High School. So we'll do that after our next break. And to kind of enlighten it a little bit or lighten the mood just a little bit, Bob mentioned coaching Little League teams. My very first Little League game of my life, Bob was the opposing coach. His team beat ours 63-9. So that was my introduction to Little League basketball. So I share that, and sometimes I say if it's a blowout, I said I haven't seen a butt kicking like that since Finkel's Ferris Store beat our Little League basketball team. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the future and the rebuild in both Dawson and Princeton. If any of our listeners are able to help, we're going to get them the information. We'll be right back here on the Trilogy. Welcome back to WPKY coverage of the West Kentucky Hoops Classic. Still a couple of minutes to go in the third quarter between Miller Career Academy out of Missouri and Miller Career Academy out of Missouri and Huffman, Alabama. This one a close game, three-point game. It's been close all the way. But Tigers and Lions, the next game up, could start just a little bit past 6:30. So we'll still have all the coverage on that one here on WPKY now and extended version of the Trilogy postgame report. We've been joined by Amanda Scott, the head coach of the Dawson Springs Lady Panthers. And Amanda, we appreciate you coming over tonight with your family. And I've got to spend time with you because my granddaughter and your daughter both played on the same soccer team and had a lot of fun with those kids. I know it's been a tough couple of weeks. You told about some of the experience from that night of December 10th and the cleanup in Dawson and how people have come together. We're kind of rounding that turn now, I believe, where people are looking, am I going to rebuild? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Am I going to stay in Dawson? We hear you and so many others talk about how do we get this park back together for these kids and things like that. So tell us a little bit about the steps you're going to take first with your basketball team and then as a community in general, what's your plans to have your basketball team involved in anything?
Yes, definitely. You know, a lot of my girls, I coach them in basketball, but, you know, they take part in everything in our community because it's so small, you know. And last season I coached my daughter in AU softball, you know, and they were there. You know, I had basketball players helping some of my other ones. They were there cheering my littles on. You know, they really, you know, take pride in the little ones just as much as they do their own sports, you know. I'm hoping with my basketball girls, you know, that we're able to get – back in a flow, you know, we're one of those, we kind of got to take the time, work the kinks out, and once we kind of work our kinks out, we can get going, you know, and we had just kind of gotten to that point when we had a stop or a pause because of this tornado. So I think it's going to take us, you know, a couple of weeks to get back in the flow of things. We play Trigg County on Monday at Trigg County, and I think that will be a good game back for us. And then, you know, Tuesday we have the Madisonville North sure. District matchup, you know, and last time we did not play well. It was not a good game for us. You know, just didn't do any of the right things that we wanted to do. I'm ready for that game. I wish we had had more practice time, but, you know, it's always next man up. You just got to step up and get ready to take it on.
Well, I know we've got a game with you guys coming up on January 10th, I think it is. If you want to take this opportunity for our listeners, if there is anything that you guys need to be brought to the gym that night. We've got a big vehicle we can load up with some supplies. We've got a lot of people listening tonight. If you know of anything special that you would like delivered to the gym, if you want to put a call out for that tonight, take this opportunity. And anything we can do, Bob and I together, or our radio station to help you accomplish that, we'll be in with you.
You know, I can say the donations, like I said, have been insane. We've had so many things donated. You know, the biggest thing that people need right now is just people to put to work, you know, to get to work on the cleanup, clearing houses and building homes. That's the biggest thing we need right now. And, you know, just the support from our community, you know, people come into games. You know, even when we played Hopkins Central, even though we lost, we had such a big crowd there that we played so much better. And so we just need now, you know, people in the community to come and support us, you know, to help us be positive and be uplifted, you know, and help us get back going again.
Well, we certainly will do everything that we can to help that. And if you need anything between now and the time we play, you can just give us a call and we'll be there for that. Bob, any closing comments from you?
Just glad to get back on the court. I'm sure you feel that way, Amanda. And kind of start life all over again to some degree, paraphrasing it. It's like my life right now. The past 2 weeks, nothing that I'd done in my life certainly compares to that. But now I feel like I'm getting up. I can watch the news on TV. I can get a newspaper. I can come to a basketball game and do what I do here. And time will take care of what we do is building back as well as Will and Dawson. So I'm hoping and praying that you all are getting the help that you need.
We actually, so the National Guard has been down and helping. You know, they came down those first few days to kind of manage, you know, the traffic and just helping people kind of get organized. And now they've actually brought down, you know, military-style vehicles. They actually started on the park first, clearing mostly the trees because our walking trail, a lot of those trees, well, if not a lot, but 90% of them are completely, you know, ripped off, you know, our dugouts too. So they were trying to help and get that cleared off. And we've actually had a nonprofit actually come in and talk to the head of our park and say that they want to come and help and rebuild it for free.
Well, great.
Yeah, great.
And they put a pretty, you know, big, I feel like, you know, generous timeline to say that they wanted to get it done by April. You know, and I really hope that we can do that for our kids because, you know, we had such a good year last year in baseball and softball. You know, we had missed the previous season because of COVID, and I felt like we got our kids back into the flow and had a great season. So I don't want to stop on that progress that we've had, you know, with all of our kids for baseball and softball. So I'm just ready to get to work and help, you know, and this nonprofit come down and us start rebuilding and get this ready for our kids.
And we are too because my granddaughter, your daughter, both played softball. We met at different tournaments throughout the summer, and it was a lot of fun seeing the growth of all of those kids and how much better they got. Before we let you go, we got to end on a little lighter note. Tell us about your trip to University of Kentucky and get to watch the practice for the Wildcats.
Well, I know for our kids it was a great, amazing experience. And for me, it was for me too. You know, Coach Cal came down last Sunday with some of his players and his assistants, and he brought Nike shoes to all of our children, you know, that didn't have them or were that displaced. And he talked to Coach Mickey Blue while he was down there, and he invited us up to come, you know, watch the practice and meet the players, which that was amazing in itself, getting to watch his practices. Yeah. You know, you see him, and he's an intense coach. You know, and he's just the same in practice. Nothing changes. You know, he's Coach Cal. But he brought us down to the floor, you know, let us take pictures of all the players. And afterward, you know, we got to take pictures with Tshiebwe right off. And then Keon Brooks Jr. stayed, and he actually played one-on-one with some of our boys players.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And one of the post players thought he had him and could get him on defense. And Keon had him sealed and turned around and laid down a major dunk on him. And, of course, all of, you know, our kids went nuts. I mean, you know, it was one of the best experiences. And those players were so humble and, you know, good with our kids. You know, after practice, they came out of the locker room. They came over and took pictures with them, you know, talked to them. I mean, it just shows what a class act, you know, Coach Cal is. You know, he really cares about his state of Kentucky, you know, not only his basketball program and his basketball players, but he wants, you know, to share the wealth, and he wants to help others. And, I mean, it was just – it was a wonderful experience for our kids. You know, one, I don't think they'll forget, and me either. You know, it was so wonderful. And they gave, you know, all of our kids – he signed books for all of them, you know, talked to them. So I think it's just one, you know, one positive step in moving forward, you know, not looking back and just moving forward to the positive.
Well, that is an awesome experience, and I saw the pictures. It looked like, obviously, everybody had a great time. And we appreciate you coming by tonight, Amanda, and talking with us. And I know it's painful to go over again, even though it's been a couple of weeks. It's still your life turned upside down, literally. But we more than appreciate you coming down and making the trip over to Princeton tonight. And hope you enjoy these last two games here, and I hope we put up a good fight. Travis Perry averaging 31 a game. We've got our own kid, Jabrion Spikes, averaging about 25. So it's going to be the support players in that. It's going to be a highlight game, and we're glad you came over and get to check out a couple of games tonight.
Thank you. I'm ready to watch. I haven't got to watch, you know, really many other games this year, so I'm excited. You know, Caldwell's like my second home. You know, I lived here for 5-6 years, and, you know, the people over here are just like the people in Dawson. They are loving and supportive and caring, and I feel like it's my second home when I lived over here. So I'm excited to watch the games, and I'm excited to be here.
Well, anything Bob and I or the station can do for you or your team, you just let us know, and we'll try to take care of it before the 10th.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amanda.
We appreciate it. That's Amanda Scott, the head coach of the Dawson Springs Lady Panthers and also a teacher in the Dawson Springs school system, joining us here on the Trilogy postgame report. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll give you a little bonus coverage of Miller Career Academy and Huffman, Alabama, here in the 12th game of the West Kentucky Hoops Classic. And then after that, it's Tigers and Lions as we get set for a big one here at the Cab. Stay tuned. All of that coming up next here on WPKY.